Okay, so we are in Genesis chapter 24, and we've been looking at the life of Abraham, and we saw that God made a lot of promises to Abraham about inheriting the land, about all the nations of the earth being blessed through him, and that he was going to do all these things through his seed. And Abraham waited a long time for that seed, and then that seed finally came, and God wanted to make sure that it was known to everybody that this was something supernatural, as something that only God could do, and it was God coming through on his promise, not Abraham and his wife and someone else doing something in the flesh to try and fulfill the will of God.
Yes, sir.
So we saw that Isaac was finally born in, I think it's chapter 21 there. And then we saw that in chapter 22 that God commanded Abraham to offer this seed and offer him for a burnt offering on the mountain. And we saw just a lot of beautiful things in that chapter. But God is doing something with this seed. It's very important. Like, he's not just the God of Abraham. He's the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And this is a story not just of one man, but it's God being faithful from generation to generation. And we're going to see him continue that in this chapter. In the previous chapter, we took a look at the life of Sarah, or the character of Sarah, and also what happened with her death and her burial, and just showing again that even in her burial, there was the hope of the resurrection. There's a reason why she was prepared in such a way, and there was such reverence given to that burial. So that's chapter 23. But then we get to chapter 24. It is actually is by far the longest chapter in the book of Genesis. So we're not going to get through all of it today, but I think we're going to do up to verse 28, maybe. So we'll just read that and then get started. So verse 1, it says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swore to him concerning that matter. Man. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of my pitcher, or of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." She said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. So, whew, this is a beautiful chapter. So many things that we can look at and learn from in this chapter. So let's just start out in verse 1, and we'll go through it bit by bit. So verse 1, it says, "Abraham was old and well stricken in age." So by this time, we'll see at the end of this chapter when Isaac gets married, and then I think it mentions in the chapter after that, that he was 40 years old when he gets married, Isaac. So Isaac was born when Abraham was 100. So at this point, Abraham is 140 years old. Okay? He's got 34 more years to live. He ends up living to 175. But at this time, he's 140. That's pretty old. He's well stricken in age. And it says, "And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." And as we look through this chapter, you see that the servant, the steward, he's got all his master's goods and he's got all this stuff. And he goes out on a journey, he takes 10 camels with him and he brings all his gold and everything. And you see that Abraham's got a lot of stuff, but Jesus said, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." It says the Lord blessed Abraham in all things. And there's a lot of blessings that Abraham had beyond that. He's got the seed that God promised him. He's got God himself as his shield and his exceeding great reward. I mean, he's blessed in everything. And now Abraham is taking thought for his son Isaac, who just lost his mother a couple years ago. And so he says to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had. So his eldest servant, it says also in verse 9 that, or verse 10, that all the goods of his master were in his hand. So what is that? That's a steward. That's someone who has the charge of all the goods. He takes care of everything. It might possibly be the same guy that's mentioned in chapter 15. So chapter 15, verse 2. I just referred to verse 1, actually. But verse 2, "And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." So at that point, Abraham didn't have any children at all. He didn't even have Ishmael yet. And he's saying, the steward of my house, Eliezer of Damascus, he's my heir. He's the one that, he actually was born in my house. So he's probably quite a bit younger than Abram himself. But I don't know. At this point, I mean, this is back when, you know, he was, this is going back like 60 years that chapter 15 happened. If you look at how old Abram, he was maybe about 80 years old then, and now he's 140. So this is a long time ago. It might be the same guy. It might not be the same guy, but regardless, you can see the position the servant is in. He's a steward. He has the charge of everything that Abraham has. So verse 3. So verse 2, he said, put I pray thee thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. So he's charging this servant with an oath. He's saying, you're going to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth. And he says, put your hand under my thigh. What exactly does that mean? I'm not 100% sure. It's culturally, it's kind of something that we don't really do anymore. So it's kind of hard to pin down exactly. I could give you a couple of suggestions. One, it's kind of a signification that Abraham really trusted this man. Okay. And also that this was a very serious thing that he was making him swear. And it didn't just have to do with Abraham. It had to do with his succession, his son, his seed after him, and his legacy and all that, and all the promises that were made to him by God about his seed and so forth. So just the place where he's putting his hand is close to his loins. It's close to what's his... coming out of him, his generation, his progeny, okay? So I think that has some of the significance there, but I can't say exactly. The oath itself is very serious. He says, I will make thee swear by the Lord. What exactly does that mean? He's calling God to be a witness of this oath. And I will show you something that usually is implied by that. Go to 1 Kings chapter 2. You see this phrase a few times in the Bible, and this is one of them. 1 Kings chapter 2. And verse 23. And I'm not really going to get into the context here, but it says, then King Solomon swear by the Lord, saying, God do so to me and more also, if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. You could see that basically what he's doing when he's swearing by the Lord is he's calling God to be a witness and saying, basically, if I break this oath, I'm calling God to curse me because this is a very serious thing. And I'm swearing that I will not do that. And if I do, I actually want a curse to come on me from God. That's how big of a deal this is. I know Thad's been talking about the commandments of Jesus in the book of Matthew. And Jesus basically says, you know what? Swear not at all. Okay? Why? Because there's things that are out of your control and they're out of your power and you can't guarantee something that necessarily that you're going to be able to do it. So it's better you just don't swear at all. But there's times that people did swear and it was a very serious thing. Okay? So I just want us to understand that. This is a very serious thing. So what exactly is the oath? Well, he says that you're going to swear unto the Lord that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. I don't know really what's that special about his kindred that he says she's got to come from my kindred. But I'll tell you what, I think Abraham wants to just be absolutely certain that she's not going to be one of the daughters of the Canaanites, because I don't think he liked what he saw from them. A couple chapters later, when we start talking about Isaac and Rebekah and their children, and we see that Esau, who's kind of an unsavory character, he selects wives from that area, and they were a grief of mind to his parents. And I think Abraham started to see this in the daughters of the land, and he's like, you know what? I don't want my son to marry one of these girls. I want him to marry a girl from back home. So, from verses 5 to 8, so the servant says, well, what if she doesn't follow me? You know, I mean, what if I meet the woman and she doesn't want to follow me to this land? Should I bring your son back there so she can meet him? And then she can make her decision. That's kind of where he's going with that. And Abraham says, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. Why? Verse 7, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. But he's kind of making a point like, God called me out of this land. He's going to give this land to me and to my seed. I don't want my son turning back to where we came from. That's the principle here. I don't want him going back and then deciding, well, I'll just stay here with her family and we'll just stay here. No, we're staying here. My son is staying here and he's not to go back to that land. I want him to marry a girl from that land, but he's not to go back to be with her. She's to come out to be with him. Okay? And also, he says in verse 7, he shall send, the same God, the Lord God of heaven, the God that took me out of my father's house and from that land, he shall send his angel before thee. Good. So what is he saying? Well, he learned a couple of chapters ago that God is Jehovah Jireh. He's the God that sees, that will see to it. He's the God that provides. And he's trusting God and saying, you know what? I'm sending you, but God is going to prepare the way for you. And he is going to provide. And then when that servant prays to God, he doesn't say, God, help me to pick the right girl. He says, show me the one that you've appointed. You can really see so much. Like, honestly, there's not a lot about Isaac in Genesis or in the Bible. There's just not a lot. There's a few short chapters, whereas you have chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter about the life of Abraham and Jacob. There's not a lot about Isaac, but what you can see in this servant is a lot of Abraham's same character that was transferred to people in his house. This wasn't just Abraham and he's got all these, you know, people that follow him around and they're nothing like him. We'll get into that actually a little bit more later, but you could just see the character. Like, yeah. Okay. Okay, so verse 10. Again, verse 8 and 9. Abraham is charging this servant with an oath, and he says, if she doesn't follow you, then you'll be clear from my oath, but just make sure you don't bring my son back there. So the servant puts his hand under his thigh and swears. Verse 10, the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And so he prays and he says, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. You can see where his heart is. He's requesting a blessing, not for himself, but for Abraham's sake. And he asks God for a sign, for assurance. O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. This is something kind of special that God does sometimes. You know, sometimes God will give a sign and he'll just say, you know, hey, this is a sign. Okay, well, just, you know, believe him, take him at his word. Okay. Sometimes he'll do something special like this and he'll actually say, hey, what do you want for a sign? this servant actually takes it upon himself and he makes up his own sign. He's like, Lord, you know, I want to know for certain which girl. So how about this? How about a girl comes and I say this to her and she says exactly this, and then I'll know that she's the one. Like, I don't know. It seems like almost a ridiculous thing. Like, okay, you're going to, you know, put this thing in your terms and, you know, give this to God. And God's like, okay, I'll do it. You can do that with God. Go ahead. He's a person. You can talk to him. If you want to say something like this, go ahead and say it. And you know what? If you find grace in his sight, he might actually do this for you. So I don't want to discourage you from doing that. I mean, it's right here in the Bible. So he gives the sign. He says, Lord, please do this. And he doesn't even finish speaking when Rebekah came out, verse 15, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. So Abraham sent him back to his kin to find someone that was part of their family, and that's exactly who he bumped into. And by the way, when the Lord explicitly honors this request and makes his journey prosperous, as he said, it's not just that God appointed her and he just, you know, like, okay, well, that one, this is the one I'm picking. God is making a choice here, and you can see why he made the choice when you look at this girl and she would see what she's like. Okay? So again, first of all, she's kindred. She's part of the family. Second, it says she's a virgin. Neither had any man known her. What else do we see? Well, we see that in the sign itself, there's a lot of humility. This guy's actually a servant, but what's her attitude? Drink, my Lord. She's humbling herself under this guy and saying, I'm going to serve you. And again, baked right into the sign itself, he says, you know, give me a drink. And then she says, drink, I'll draw for you. I'll also draw for your camels. Right. She is going above and beyond what was asked for her.
Good.
What was asked of her. And you can just see that heart that she has. She's actually a lot like the servant. She just has a real servant's heart. And also, what else do we see? Well, the damsel was very fair to look upon. She was beautiful. So what this says to me is that, you know what? If I let God make the decision, if I let God appoint someone, he's not going to like, it's going to be the right choice. Okay? He's not going to disappoint. That's what I'm saying. He picked just the right girl for all the right reasons and extra. I like that. Okay. So, pretty much everything that he requested, the Lord gave him as far as the sign. And so let me just read through this again. So verse 15, it came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. The damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. By the way, I just want to say this to the ladies that are present, the unmarried ladies. If you want God to pick you, to choose you for a good man, these are good qualities to have. Have a servant's heart. Be willing to go above and beyond what's asked of you. And remain a virgin. Amen. Okay, verse 17. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also," until they had done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. So she did a very thorough job. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Now, I just speaking from experience here. If you want something from God, and you start to see like, okay, well, this is looking kind of good. It's looking kind of promising. Okay, I'll go for it. This guy, he holds his peace. He waits. He takes his time. He's like, you know what? I want to be sure. I don't want to just rush and, you know, okay, well, here, like, it looks like she's kind of coming there. Okay, no, he's waiting. He's holding his peace. He wants to see whether this is really something that the Lord's doing. He doesn't want to rush ahead. To wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. This guy is not hoping for good luck. He really wants it to be the Lord making his journey prosperous. So verse 22, it came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. And trust me, he's got a lot more than that with him. He's got 10 camels loaded up with stuff because he's going to give a bunch of presents to her family and to her. And it's also just kind of a token that he's... This really is from Abraham. He's a great rich man. He's very wealthy. He's got all this stuff. And this is kind of a proof that I really did come from Abraham. I'm not just some bum trying to pick up a girl. You know, I'm really from Abraham. I'm his servant. I have charge of all his goods. Here they are. Okay, so that's kind of a sign in itself. But also just to show that he's really serious about this. Okay, I brought all this stuff and I'm willing to give some gifts. I'm willing to make some payment here, basically. Verse 23, it said, "Whose daughter art thou?" tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which he bare unto Nahor. So she says, basically, yeah, I'm part of Abraham's family. And he didn't even mention yet that, I don't think he mentioned yet. Yeah, he didn't even mention yet that he's Abraham's servant. He's just a guy showing up with a bunch of camels and stuff. And he asks her, you know, who's your father? Which family are you from? And then she tells him, and he's like, wow, the Lord really did this. He bowed his head. Verse 26, the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. This worship, it's not like a lot of people think of worship as a gesture or a ritual. This guy has real worship in his heart, and you can see that the praise of God is just overflowing from his lips for the rest of this chapter. He just cannot shut up about the goodness of God. Why? Because he had a heart of worship. And when this all happened, he realized what family she's from and how God had set this whole thing up and answered his explicit request. Wow. God. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. You're just so good, Lord. Thank you. You did everything. Wow. It wasn't just he worshiped for a minute. This guy had a heart of worship toward God. It just came out of him. And, yeah. And I really love verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. You know what his character is? He's thrilled that God is good to his master. He's not even talking about himself. He's seeking the good of his master. He's seeking God's blessing for his master.
Good.
And he's just rejoicing. Does that ever happen to you? That maybe you don't get something? But when you see that God blesses someone else and you see someone else receive the goodness of God, you're like, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. I'm so happy for them. That's good. That's good. And then this part. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Now, I've heard some people look at this phrase and say, I being in the way, well, that happens to me all the time. I mean, that's all I ever do is just get in the way, you know, and God just has to push me aside and do his thing. That's not what this is saying. That's not at all what this is saying. Go back to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. Genesis 18, verse 19 says, for I know him that he will command. This is God talking about Abraham. I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. Guess what? This guy, whether or not he's Eliezer of Damascus, he's part of Abraham's household. That's the point that I was trying to make earlier. And guess what? Abraham commanded his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. There is a connection between being in the way and keeping the way, and then God will direct and bring upon that which he hath spoken. Okay? Abraham passed on the way of the Lord to his household, including the servant. And that's what you're seeing here. Go to Psalm 37. You're going to see this exact pattern repeated again and again. Psalm 37, Psalm 37 and verse 5. It says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." That's what God did for this man. This man committed his way unto the Lord and said, "God, I'm going to do this. I'm seeking your kindness for my master Abraham. I'm following all his instructions like a good and faithful servant, and I'm committing my way unto you. Lead me where I should go and give me a sign. Show me, because I want to be sure that she's the right girl that you've appointed." He committed his way unto the Lord, trusted also in him, and guess what? The Lord brought it to pass. One more. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." I'm going to trust the Lord to make the decision. I'm not going to say, "Well, is she this? Is she that? Does she look like this? Does she look like that? Is she like this?" I'm going to trust the Lord to appoint. And he did. "Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." See, the servant was in the way. You know what the way is? The way is how you get somewhere. Okay? There's a difference between ways and paths, like it says in that verse. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths." The paths are where you go. The way is what takes you there. Okay? I could say, "I want to go to Canada, and there's a specific path that I might take to get to Canada. But you know the way that I have to go? North." So they're kind of related, but they're two different things. But the point is that the servant wasn't saying, "Oh, I was just in God's way and he just pushed me aside." No. He's saying, "You know what? I was in the way. I was going the right way. I was following the instructions that were given to me. I was doing the right thing. I was seeking the Lord. I was trusting in him. And because of that, he led me. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." So it's just a beautiful section of scripture. And honestly, my favorite thing in this is just the servant's heart. He obeys his master. He loves his master. He worships and blesses and praises the Lord. And he rejoices, not for the good that God does to himself, but for the good that God does to his master. And just rejoices in that. And there's so much that we can learn about being good and faithful servants from this guy right here. Doesn't even tell you his name. Might be Eliezer. Might be something else. I don't know. But he's a good and faithful servant, and we can learn so much from him. There's many deeper things that you can really bring out of this chapter, but like I said, it's the longest chapter in Genesis, 67 verses, so we're going to save some of that for next time. So that'll be it. Just want to thank you all for being in Sunday school.